Hello and a very warm welcome to this special episode of the EMG Health Podcast, sponsored by an educational grant from Janssen. This is your host, Dr. Jonathan Sack here, and today we'll be exploring the disease landscape for lung cancer, specifically non-small cell lung cancer, as well as epidermal growth factor receptor, or EGFR mutations, and their potential impact on at-risk patient populations. And to help me dive deeply into the subject is Marina Garasino, Chair of Thoracic Oncology at the National Cancer Institute of Milan, one of the most important cancer centers in the world. Marina will talk us through the latest scientific evidence concerning quality of life, the disease burden in patients, and the importance of long-term treatment strategies. She'll also offer her unique clinical perspective on the non-small cell lung cancer disease landscape, as well as outline unmet needs for patients with EGFR-mutated non-small cell lung cancers. It's quite a mouthful, actually. If some of my questions have an odd tenor, that's because this is personal to me, deeply personal. My late father had most smoking-related illnesses, including lung cancer, and I followed the story of the genetics of this disease with a keen eye. So, Marina, welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me.
We're delighted that you could join us. Could you possibly begin by giving us an overview of the current disease landscape by outlining the challenges for patients living with lung cancer and specifically with non-small cell lung cancer?
So it is a wonderful period for patients with lung cancer because I can tell you that just 5 years ago, it was unbelievable what we are seeing for the treatment of lung cancer patients. So basically, the patients with lung cancer can be divided in two big categories. Clearly, there is an overlap of the two categories. But there are the patients never smokers and the patients smokers. And these two populations have totally different characteristics. For patients never smokers, we found in the last 15 years at least 8 targetable alterations for which it is possible to have a specific treatment, in general, an oral treatment. And the life expectancies of this patient is very long, with just sometimes an oral drug. For patients who smoked in the past, or they smoke, sometimes they still smoke, immunotherapy is the most relevant treatment and sometimes can be just as a single agent or can be associated with the chemotherapy or it can be an association of two immunotherapies. Having said that, I think that the topic of today is more dedicated to patients with EGFR mutations. So basically, it is important to say that all patients must be tested for EGFR mutations because it is more frequent in patients with never smokers, but you can find it also in patients smokers. And there is a nice story behind the discovery of EGFR mutations because the EGFR mutations were discovered in 2004 by two groups in US, and they found that in particular women, Asian women and never smoker had incredible sensitivity to a drug that at the time was gefitinib, but then we had also several other drugs such as erlotinib and dafatinib. And so they sequenced the tumor of these patients and they found two particular mutations in exon 19 and in exon 21. And when the patients had these mutations, you could see the shrinkage of the tumor in about 70-80% wow. of patients. That was incredible. So I was young and lung cancer was considered, as you know, a terrible disease. And so I could see also patients that were in very bad conditions resuscitating with just a few pills. And this was the beginning of the story of the personalized medicine in non small cell lung cancer. So after that, we found in the last 15 years several other alterations. The second one was ALK, then we found ROS1, MET exon 14, TRK, HER2 mutation, and we found also other mutations in the same EGFR gene. So potentially now in 2020, we are able to target a very huge number of mutations with the proper drug. So it's really incredible, and I think that it is really, really important to have a correct diagnosis for these patients, and knowing also the resistant mechanism for the first mutations for the first drugs, and now we are continuing to find also other drugs for the resistance after the first generation TKI.
Right, and presumably there'll be other such developments. Watch this space. Can you give us a sense of scale? How prevalent are non-small cell lung cancers with EGFR mutations, and how do they differ?
Well, all the family of EGFR mutations are in about 10% of lung cancer patients. There is a difference because in the Asian population, there are more EGFR mutations. There are some reports suggesting that they have up to 50% of EGFR mutation in the tumor.
So let's talk a little bit about screening.
In general, what I suggest is to do an NGS sequencing. And I say to all the people that if you don't have NGS in your center, it is important to be in contact with the center where NGS can be done. So the first step is to do a proper diagnosis, because if you don't do a proper diagnosis, you miss the target and you can compromise the survival of the patients and also the quality of life, because clearly having a target drug sometimes has less toxicity than doing the chemotherapy. Sometimes, not in all the cases, but sometimes it is possible.
So you mentioned NGS, next generation sequencing, and a very valid point. If you don't have it in your institution, that doesn't stop you collaborating with an institution that does have it. So yeah. Can we talk a little bit about the testing options currently available, advantages and disadvantages, NGS and polymerase chain reaction, PCR?
It's not really one better to the other, but you know that in non-small cell lung cancer, sometimes we have a very small tissue of coming from the biopsy. And so it is important to test all the genes from the beginning, because if you have just a small biopsy and you start with the PCR, then maybe sometimes you finish the tissue and you have to go back again to another biopsy. So the NGS has the important possibility to have everything from the beginning. And it is also important because you can do also some translocation and amplification that in the other case you can do, or for example, for ALK, you can do just in immunohistochemistry, or sometimes you have to do a FISH. So again, tissue is the issue. So you have to protect the tissue and to test simultaneously as much as possible all the targets in non-small cell lung cancer.
Right. So it's a bit of an open-ended question for you. You can take it in whichever direction you want, because this is, this is your expertise. What are some of the challenges in treating this patient group?
The big problem of targeted agents in general is that after a certain period, that can be also very long, these patients progress because in the tumor there is an heterogeneity, and for some reasons, at a certain time, the heterogeneity is so much that the drug that you use from the beginning doesn't work anymore. So the challenges of the next future will be to find a second, third generation tyrosine kinase inhibitors to continue to deliver oral or in targeted drugs for these patients, to have a very long life expectancy for these patients with a very good quality of life. This is, I think, it is our goal. Unfortunately, every time that you switch from one tyrosine kinase inhibitors or to one antibody to another, you increase the heterogeneity, and at a certain point, you must deliver chemotherapy. I hope to be clear. I know that it is a very difficult concept, but I think that basically you need a lot of drugs for the future, because potentially this kind of tumors can become a chronic disease.
Yeah, what an aspirational target to turn lung cancer into a chronic disease. So at this particular time, obviously, we've been dealing with a pandemic, and there's been a lot of discussion on the impact of the pandemic on the diagnosis and management of patients with various cancers. What specifically has COVID-19 had on the management of lung cancer patients, and how are you managing those challenges?
So I am Italian, as you can recognize also from my
delightfully so.
I lived in Milano, which was the epicenter of the pandemic from the beginning. So I'm pretty used to manage with this situation. Yeah. What I can tell you is that we stopped all the treatments because we were scared to have patients in the hospital, and in particular lung cancer patients, in a huge percentage, unfortunately, they die. So now we are in a more aware situation, and we are continuing to deliver oncological treatments. In particular, I was the principal investigator of a trial called TheraVolt, specifically for non-small cell lung cancer patients, for thoracic malignancies and COVID. And we were able to demonstrate that patients with targeted agents have a lower mortality compared to patients, smokers, and on potentially on chemotherapy. So my suggestion in after 1 year of the pandemic is to continue to deliver the treatments, is to continue to do the diagnosis in lung cancer patients, because after 1 year we saw more advanced disease than 1 year ago. So it is important to come to the hospital to do the diagnosis, to continue the surgery, to continue the follow-up, to continue the treatments, because in a protected situation, so with the social distancing, with masks, washing hands, whatever, and now hopefully also with the vaccines, we are able now to continue the normal clinic for our patients. So it is always difficult, can be dangerous. So patients with lung cancer must be, in my opinion, more protected than others. And I was an advocate for an early vaccination for in these patients, because the risk is clearly higher compared to the normal population. But I can tell you that you can continue to practice and to treat these patients in a correct way.
Yeah, I've been talking to others of our colleagues who make the observation that, you know, there are plenty of other diseases that will kill you. And obviously, given the association with smoking and all the other things that smoking causes, compromised respiratory and cardiac function, that's obviously an issue. So tell us a little bit about upcoming advances to improve outcomes for people living with epidermal growth factor receptor mutated non-small cell lung cancers. You do realize for a simple surgeon, that's a lot of words.
Yeah, but not just for the surgeon. I think also for all the general oncologists. So, I treat lung cancer all day long, and sometimes I have the feeling that I'm missing a piece of the puzzle. So I can't imagine for the surgeons and also for the general oncologists. So I believe that networking is still a key point. So for patients with exon 19 and exon 21, now we start with the osimertinib, but potentially you can start also with erlotinib and ramucirumab. And when there is the progression for osimertinib, the MET inhibitors can be very good candidate, but there are also some other strategies and some trials ongoing. And we are also trying to improve the first line with combination treatments in non-small cell lung cancer. So now we are trying to put all the pieces of the puzzles in the right sequence. What it is important nowadays, it is to know that we have multiple drugs for these patients, and that the research is trying to put all the pieces of the puzzles in the correct sequence.
Can you outline some hopes you have for the non-small cell lung cancer patient community going forward, as well as what we can do to better drive awareness of what is a devastating disease?
I think that I started to treat lung cancer where the prognosis was so bad that all my friends, when I was saying that I was treating lung cancer, they had a lot of concern. Yeah. Now, the oncologists treating lung cancer are superstars because we found so many treatments in the last years that I think it's really fantastic. I think that we have to work more on the prevention, because now we have data that support that in patients, smokers, the screening works. But, you know, the smokers sometimes are stranger people and they don't go to do a CT scan for the screening. So I strongly recommend to all the smokers to do a CT scan at least every 1 year, but also every other year is very okay. And there are also some important biomarkers that are discovered that can be the ctDNA, but also the microRNA seem very important for the prevention. And so this is very important, because I'm saying not because you are a surgeon, but I think that surgery is still the most important treatment for non-small cell lung cancer. But surgery is important only if you diagnose non-small cell lung cancer in stage 1, in stage 2, and in some particular stage 3 condition. What we are looking now is that the neoadjuvant treatment are very important, and particular for also with immunotherapy. For the future, I hope that we will find some targeted treatments to sequence, as I told you before, the non-small cell lung cancer for patients with targetable alterations. And for all the other patients, I think that it will be very important to find treatments to overcome the resistance to the immunotherapy. I think that if we do all these steps, I'm sure that the future for non-small cell lung cancer patients will be even better in the next years.
Yes, all wonderful aspirational statements. And I'll throw out there, stop smoking, I know it's obvious, but,
So yes, smoking is a very important aspect. It's important not to condemn smokers because it's a dependency. So you must take care of the people who smoke, not to say you are a bad person because you smoke. So you must help these people. There are drugs to help stop smoking. There are psychologists. There are many possibilities. So it is important that the people decide to quit.
Yeah, very, very well said. You know, we obviously can't afford to neglect lung cancer in spite of the ongoing pandemic and, you know, all the other foci that we as physicians have. It's imperative that we continue working on treatment options and continue this wonderful rate of improvement of options that we have to relieve the burden on the patients and their families who deal with this disease. So thank you, Dr. Carasino, for joining me today to both illuminate this subject and certainly to educate me, to share your findings. But importantly, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, a huge thank you for all the work you do for the patients you work with.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me and keep our finger crossed for the pandemic and for the future of lung cancer.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to go and visit my favorite country in the world, to go back to Italy. So I'm looking forward to it. Well, folks, that's it for today's episode. Please remember to turn on, tune in, download and listen every Friday for more episodes with more amazing guests here on the EMG Health Podcast. For now, stay well, stay safe.